So Ecclesiastes chapter 11, page 678. Just before we read that, so just by way of some introduction, really, we often say, don't we, that life is made a little bit easier when we manage to find a bit of R&R. And we know what that means. We long for a bit of rest and relaxation, and many this summer trying to do that, trying to find a bit of R&R just to make life a bit better, especially on the back end of a pandemic. But as we come to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, our writer here, the teacher, the scrapbooker, as we've met him throughout these past few weeks, he longs for us to know what it is to be set free to really live, and to do that by knowing, yes, we've got to accept we're going to die. But he longs, as he gets to the final stroke of his pen and the last bit of his parchment, to say, you've got to find some R&R. But not rest and relaxation. He wants us to do two R's. He wants us to rejoice and to remember. To rejoice and to remember. So let me read these verses, then I'll pray, and we'll look at them together. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you'll say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they're few and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. When people rise up at the sound of birds but all their songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire is no longer stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it, is meaningless. Let me pray. Father, we thank and praise you for your word. Thank you for your graciousness, which sees fit to have this word from you given to us. We can open our Bibles and hear you speak. We pray now you'd help us to do that. Still our hearts and our minds to listen and learn more of you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I say, he's got two R's for us, rejoicing and remembering. And he opens, doesn't he, there in chapter 11, verse 7, by as he draws all his threads together, if you've been through with us for the last few Sundays, he's concluding that light is sweet and pleasing. Life is good, this gift from God. And so, verse 8, however many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. And just to be clear, the artistic license, a slightly better translation of enjoy, although very helpful for us, is rejoice. But a bit more old-fashioned. But that's where I get my two R's from. Rejoice and remember, or enjoy and remember. But that's more like emergency room. So two R's, rejoice and remember. Enjoy them all, he says. And his wisdom, if you notice, is especially 11 verse 9 for those of you who are young, and 12 verse 1 to remember those in the days of your youth. And so if you're one of our younger people or young at heart, please listen up. He's speaking to you or to us. And if you're not someone who describes yourself still as youthful, please don't switch off, because as we'll hear, the way he describes someone less youthful is about someone who we might describe as being sort of well over 70. So some of you might well seem like spring chickens for what he's describing as old. He wants us all to rejoice in the life we're given. And he says, you'll find that easy to remember when you're youthful. And then he says, doesn't he, in the second half of 8, but let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Now again, as we've seen and draw these things together, this isn't Eeyore trying to silence Tigger. It's just simply the realism we've heard before, chapter after chapter. Life is like a mist, a vapor. Do you remember that better way of looking at meaningless? It's just futile and frustrated. So remember them before it's much more difficult to do so. He longs for the young, the youth, the young at heart, to rejoice in life. Because he wants us all to realize what we deep down know. It's not always going to be jumpers for goalposts and 2 and 6 for pick and mix. I have no idea if that's cheap or expensive, and I know lots of the young people have no idea what I'm talking about, but that's his point. Life gets more difficult and at times disappointing. And as we grow old, he longs for us to live it and rejoice in it while we can. It might be we see verse 9 and sort of, if we know our Bibles, sort of slightly cryptically think, what's he mean? Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. It sort of sounds like he's sort of giving on the one hand and taking away on the other. But what he's saying is, remember how you live matters. You'll be judged. So both enjoy life wisely, but also it is wise to enjoy life. Judgment means you'll give an account. Did you enjoy the life the gift giver gave you? Perhaps that's a new understanding of what it might mean to give an account in judgment. Did you say thank you? Were you grateful? And it's that sense of being grateful, not grumpy, is what he means in verse 10. So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. He's not turning around and saying to those with mental illness, just get rid of those thoughts and feelings, or those who are physically unwell, cast off those troubles. He's not an idiot. What he means is, no, it's about a sense of gratitude, not grumpiness. Perhaps some of you remember Victor Meldrew, from One Foot in the Grave. Remember that TV series, his famous catchphrase, I don't believe it. And the writer is saying here, don't live like Victor Meldrew, one foot in the grave and just waiting to drag the other one in to join it. No, he's saying, live with the reality of the grave. Yes, we've heard that week after week. But then rejoice in the life you've been given. Be grateful, not grumpy. I read this week how this sense of gratitude is caught up in a story from one of the late John Stott's study assistants. I can't remember. This story might have been from the book Destiny we've been plugging all through series. But one of the study assistants mentions this in one of John Stott's the biographies that was published. He said these words. Every afternoon at 4:30, I bring Uncle John a cup of coffee, and he almost always says playfully, I'm not worthy. One afternoon, I replied, sure you are. After a few moments, and without even looking up from his work, he said, you have not got your theology of grace right. And I replied, Uncle John, it is only a cup of coffee. And as I went back to the kitchen, I heard him mutter under his breath, without even looking up again, this is just the thin end of the wedge. See, John Stott knew what it was to be grateful. And just that cup of coffee at 4:30, I'm not worthy. Friends, let me ask, what might it look like for you and for me to live more gratefully and rejoice, enjoy the life we're given? I wonder if, like John Stott here, do we need to gratefully enjoy the small things once again? I know I do. In a place like London, we're surrounded, aren't we, by everything and everyone. And it's so easy to take everything for granted. For it to be just a cup of coffee. But no, we're to get our theology of grace in order, and so then we rejoice in the life we've been given. And perhaps we're a parent or a grandparent or a doting uncle or auntie. Do we see that great privilege and responsibility to teach our children to be grateful? Not just remembering to say thank you when we put dinner down, to be grateful for all that God has given them. We sing, don't we? 10,000 reasons for my heart to sing. Let's make sure we can come up with 10. It's not a very British thing to do. Let's be grateful. Let's live the life we've been given and rejoice. The second R is to remember. And as we do that, that is what will help us rejoice. Let me read from chapter 12, verse 1 again. Look down, chapter 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. He sort of knows that gratitude will give way to grumpiness if we're not careful. Nothing is pleasurable, would be the temptation. When the days of trouble come, he's poetically now saying, old age is coming, and it'll be troublesome. And for someone who's been so blunt throughout his book, now he goes really quite poetic as he just draws the threads together and describes old age and the grave. And we've seen the scrapbook as photographs throughout, haven't we? All these different vignettes on his journey through life. And if you like, we get to now just two final photos. And the last but one, he takes us and shows the photograph of a care home. And he wants us to remember our Creator before we're there. Before we're old, perhaps before remembering anything at all, starts to get a bit trickier. He puts it, as I say, very, very poetically, quite unlike my friend who told me of the time he went to his GP because he had a real niggle in his knee and he's a real athlete and sportsman. He went to his GP and said, my knee's absolutely killing me. And the GP said, what did you expect? You're now 36. That was it. It's downhill from there. Your body's no longer healing in the same way. Start stretching. You're not the athlete you once were. But our writer here, for once, is so poetic here now as he draws these threads together. Let's just make sure we get some sense. We won't look at them all. But verse 3, do you see with me how he describes things? The keepers of the house. He's talking about our hands. Those hands that were once strong now need someone else to open the brand new jar of marmalade. That's just too tight. Those strong men that stoop, legs that could walk for miles and miles without a care in the world, now far less strong, and perhaps at best shuffling around the house, and that's an effort. The grinders that cease again in verse 3 and are now few. Any guesses what they are? The teeth. Some of those might not be our own as old age come. Still in verse 3, windows that grow dim and hard to see through. Eyesight, once 20/20, now needing the bifocals. Verse 4, the doors to the street that are now closed. He's talking about our ears listening to sounds that were once crystal clear, now rather muffled. And all too often having to say, I'm so sorry, would you mind speaking up a little bit? Continues verse 4 about rising with birds. Sense of waking with the dawn chorus and thinking those few hours actually were quite a good night's sleep. And yet you can't always hear the birds because your hearing is failing. Speaks of fear of heights and danger in the streets. We visited a relative this week who fell off just 2 steps about so high trying to wash the back gate. Fell right back and bashed their head, extremely shaken and badly hurt. When a few years back, they'd have just stepped backwards. A stumble that once meant nothing at all can now be life-changing or indeed life-ending. Almond blossom, describing their grey hair. Bodies once strong as a grasshopper, now needing sticks or stroller. You see, we can go through and get a sense of the poetry, and we can smile and we can cry as we read this description of old age. And if we're not careful, we'll be a little more youthful and we'll think, this is so irrelevant, it's a million miles from me. But he says, it soon will be. Should old age come, this is what it might well be like. And of course, where does it end? Verse 6, remember him before the silver cord is severed, and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. It's poetry from things around the house at the time. Golden bowls, that was a lamp that would hang on a cord. The pitcher of water, so light and life coming to an end. And dust returns to the ground. In fact, picking up on that word there, dust going to the ground, did you notice as he draws his book to an end that he's echoing the creation accounts from Genesis 1? So in chapter 12, verse 2, he talks about old age coming and uses the pictures of sun and moon and stars, which in the creation accounts were put in the sky and described as good and had their purpose of casting light. Now they're fading. Verse 7, dust returns to the ground, spirit returns to God who gave it. Go back to creation accounts. Mankind made from the dust and receiving the breath, the spirit of God, to give us life. You see what he's doing? He's saying death is uncreation. And so he urges us while we're young, if you like, while we still can, to remember our Creator, so that we would not just remember him, but also remember how the world was meant to be as we think of the creation order, where he declared things to be good and very good. And then as we do that, to rejoice that we know that Creator and can see that the fall hasn't removed all of life's goodness and beauty. But it will be uncreated as we draw to a close in our life. And yet, it is a life that in knowing our Creator and living out his gift is still so wonderfully worthwhile as we remember him. I picked up a quote this week looking into this that was so apt about Bono, the lead singer of U2. Sound like my dad. Sorry, Dad, if you're watching. U2. Bono, back in 2005, said these words: "Ecclesiastes is one of my favourite books. It's a book about a character who wants to find out why he's alive, why he was created, so he tries everything. And you hurry to the end of the book to find out why, and it says, remember your Creator. It's such a letdown. And yet it really isn't. No, it really isn't. Getting to know our Creator before we grow old and die is the most important thing we can ever do." Friends, as we close, the teacher, as he closes his book, and here again, takes us by the hand, and he opens up his scrapbook, and he shows us the care home, and asks, before old age and death comes, how will you live? In the days of your youth, will you rejoice, and will you remember? And remember, he's not saying, so dig out your task list and set a reminder on your phone, must rejoice. Not a bad idea. But the point is, he knows that to rejoice in life, we need to remember the one who gives life to us. That's why he says it a couple of times, remember your Creator, remember him. And then we'll rejoice. And whilst we, like our teacher, live this side of Eden, remember that phrase, under the sun, this side of Eden, waiting for Christ's return, we share that same point in history, and yet we have something special and unique, don't we? Because unlike our teacher, we live under the sun this side of Christ and his cross. And so there'll be some of you here who know him, and it's not just simple wordplay as we think about what it is to remember him. And how the night before he died, he tells his disciples and so us to break bread and drink wine. Why? In remembrance of me. Remember, your sinners I've saved. And knowing me is to receive life in all its fullness. And then the same Jesus, before he ascends to be with his Father, sends out his followers into the world to spread the best news anyone is ever going to hear, and says, remember, I'm with you always. Remember, as we live life in all its fullness, I, the Lord Jesus, who you remember of my cross, and permanently present with you. Friends, when we remember our Creator, our Christ and his cross, we surely cannot help but find reasons to rejoice. Let's pray together. Loving Father, we thank and praise you that you know what we're like and how forgetful we are. Gosh, how forgetful I am. How as the day gets underway, let alone old age, there's just so little thought of you if we're not careful. And so we thank you for these words from our teacher, this writer, who knows we need to remember you. And as we do that, we pray you'd help us to therefore receive and rejoice in the life you give us each day. Help us to be more grateful in the small things, to live the life you've given us, to give you thanks, to be grateful, not grumpy, and all for your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.